Well, Matt Grossman is director of the Institute for Public Policy and Social Research and an associate professor of political science at Michigan State University, and he's joining me today to talk about his new book, Red State Blues. Matt, welcome to MSU Today.
Good to be with you.
So tell me a little bit about what motivated you to write Red State Blues and take a closer look at how or if Republicans and Democrats really move the needle across the country at a state level.
Well, most of my prior research had been on national politics, and I had regularly observed that Republicans were kind of unable to achieve their professed desire to reduce the size and scope of government when they were put in charge. And people kept saying, well, what about Scott Walker or Sam Brownback in Kansas and Wisconsin? Is something different going on at the state level? So I wanted to look. And then the second thing is that I have this institutional role here at MSU, right, where we do a whole lot with the state government. And I got to observe up close what Republicans were doing under unified control here in Michigan. And I wanted to see, you know, how widely did what we observed here apply nationwide.
So what specific factors or data did you look at state to state?
Well, we have a big public data set called the Correlates of State Policy that allows anybody to look at policy differences across states over time and a whole bunch of factors that might be related to that, including politics, but also including population and economic change to try to figure out what really was an outcome of the partisan change in the states versus just some other kinds of factors that might affect state policy. But then I also combine that with some qualitative information. So I interviewed state legislative reporters in most of the states that Republicans gained control. I read books, exciting books like, you know, The History of Kansas Politics since the 1980s. But the idea there was to actually catalog from those books what did they think were the most important things that happened in their state and try to compare those with our quantitative indicators. So try to combine all those sources of evidence to get a big picture view of what's changed in the states.
Well, Matt Grossman, which states then have been more influenced by Republican leaders and what kinds of policies changed at a state level?
Well, the states that had the most potential for change were the relatively liberal states where Republicans came to power. So that's why Wisconsin stuck out, is that its policies had long been on the economic side more liberal than its public. Its public had been pretty moderate and its policies had been pretty liberal. And so that gave Scott Walker a chance to really roll back a lot of those policies in comparison to, say, Alabama, where Republicans came to power and hadn't been there, but there really wasn't. You know, it was an already very conservative state. There was not a whole lot to change there. And then you got states like Kansas where there was big change, but then a lot of it was reversed after an initial burst of changes to tax policy under Sam Brownback. Some of those taxes were actually raised, even though Republicans still retained control of the states. So there were some where there were big changes and they didn't last, a few where there were big changes and they did, and mostly stasis.
Well, and there are also important national trends that had less to do with partisan control.
Yeah, so the policies that tended to change the most were these kind of quick social issues like guns and abortion, where policies changed in every state, Democratic and Republican. Yeah. Immigration lately, where we see national polarizing trends. And so those policies did shift, but those were not the kinds of policies that had big socioeconomic impact. So it's easy to show that abortion policy changed in Republican states, but harder to show that the actual number of abortions did. Same thing with guns and crime or guns and gun ownership. So some of the biggest changes weren't enacted in as many states, like right to work that we saw in Michigan and Wisconsin, but, you know, so that's six or seven states. But those had somewhat wider changes. But in addition to those that we hear about as partisan debates, there's also just nationwide trends. We saw nationally a tough on crime policy get reversed to where now states want to decrease their prison population. legislation. We saw a whole bunch of states ban gay marriage and then legalize gay marriage right in a row in response to a national trend. And then importantly for my story, we have these kind of gradual expansions in the scope of government that you might view as liberal, but really occur across all states. So early childhood education is a good example there, where nearly all states are expanding the dollars that go to that pre-kindergarten education over time, regardless of whether it's Democrats or Republicans in charge.
So what hasn't changed because of the Republican revolution?
Well, the big kind of stark indicator is that, you know, Republicans went from controlling three states in the early 1990s to controlling 26 states, a majority, as of last year. And in that time, the median state budget doubled, and the average went up even more than that. So they really haven't affected that kind of size of government indicator. And if you look at what the states spend money on, it's basically education, health, and social services, areas that we mostly, you know, tend to think Democrats are more favorable toward. And yet that really didn't change under Republican control either.
We're talking with Matt Grossman. He's a Michigan State University political scientist, and his new book is called Red State Blues. And Matt, what are the greatest challenges Republican leaders have faced throughout the last 25 years when it comes to pushing their political agendas?
Well, so some things I think are just faced by any party in power. We tend to think, okay, well, this person said this on the campaign trail, and therefore they'll be able to enact everything they promised us. And it just doesn't work like that. You know, when we go through the policy process, everybody who's likes the current policy tends to speak up. They tend to have to be compromises made. And so we tend to water down those policies that we make on the campaign trail. Now, that applies to both. But there are some specific challenges for Republicans. And the main thing is that it really is unpopular to take away existing benefits. And so when Republicans did try to reduce the scope of government, and like at the federal level where we can just add to the national debt, most states you can't do that. And so it really meant a reduction in services. Schools closed, people didn't have access to health insurance, and people noticed those things. And they call their legislator and they respond accordingly. So some things are just we have a too high expectations for what a new party might be able to achieve. And then there are some things that are specific to conservative goals being even less able to be put into practice.
And what policy trends did you see state to state that showed Republican proposed legislation overturned?
So Republicans do face some additional challenges when it comes to bureaucrats in the courts, who tend to be to the left of Republican state legislators. Even though we are hearing now about, you know, a conservative Supreme Court in the states, they still tend to be more likely to strike down policies for not providing benefits or for not equalizing benefits across local areas. So in areas like social workers, where states like Michigan tried to cut that number, they got overturned in the courts and had to go back to a more expansive policy. And that actually happened in four or five different states. So you got the courts, you got the bureaucrats, but you also have the public backlash. And that can, of course, matter when, like we saw in 2018, there's some actually move against Republican control. But it can also affect Republican legislators just by them seeing what has happened on the ground and responding.
So what surprised you most in your research for Red State Blues, Matt?
The surprise was really the limited impact of the policies that do pass. It's not that policy has no impact, but it's really hard to show that, say, a red state or a blue state do better on some major indicator like income growth or population growth or crime or family structure. These kinds of underlying social indicators that we're usually trying to move don't seem to move in response to party control. So we often think, okay, we're choosing between California and Texas, the red state model and the blue state model. But you think about it for a few seconds, you realize, well, there's quite a few other differences between California and Texas. Might not just be the party in power that's producing those differences. And so, and that's what I found. It really is hard to show that it's the actual policies put forward by Republicans and Democrats that have made those states or other states different.
Well, if Democrats' past fears were overblown, what would be a sign that they should be worried in the future?
Well, they should be worried electorally, and I did nothing to disabuse them of that worry, I don't think, because there really is some. There's, of course, some back and forth in American politics. We saw in 2018 Democrats make some gains, but they really only made back the gains they lost in 2014. They did nothing about the gains they lost in 2010 or in the 90s. And there really are some permanent changes. They're not going to be competitive in these southern states, in the outer South, like Missouri, my home state, or Tennessee or Kentucky or Oklahoma. They're the kind of you can expand the South for further and further and see they're just not competitive in a lot of those states. And then you get up to the Dakotas or northern Michigan, where they're also not competitive. And they really aren't going to win back those areas. In terms of policies, I think what we're going to test now is Democrats have been effective historically at kind of slowly expanding the scope of government, extending benefits to a new constituency. What they haven't been able to do is kind of transform their states with some kind of new system. And when you start thinking about, you know, our state's going to try to deliver universal health care or reorient their states away from fossil fuels entirely, these kinds of big promises, then I think Democrats will run into the same problems that Republicans do, which is there's a lot of state interest groups that are happy with the current policy. It's a huge fundamental change you're proposing. People are going to find out about it, and it's going to go down in popularity over time.
So, Matt, what do you hope the public takes from Red State Blues about the contentious opposing political parties?
Well, the big thing is that what you hear about in campaigns is kind of the party's ideal visions. That doesn't mean that they're going to be able to actually implement those policies when they get elected. So I think we have the sense that we're debating between the Republican division and the Democratic division. As long as we get full control, our side wins, we're finally going to pass all of these policies and put it in our direction. And that tends not to happen. On average, putting one political party in control rather than the other tends to move policy about 1% of the way from one extreme to the other. So you do see real change, but it's nowhere near the level of change that you might expect from hearing, say, a gubernatorial debate between the two political parties, where they're going to say they disagree on everything, but they're actually usually not able to move policy completely in their direction.
Yeah. And Matt, before Red State Blues, you wrote Asymmetric Politics, and I'm just wondering your thoughts on, are we indeed more tribal and polarized than ever, or has this happened before in history, and do you think we can pull out of this and compromise again?
Well, what's unique about our era is we have a kind of a lining up of all these identities, partisanship, ideology, race, education, geography, and issue positions. And so we really do have two sides. The voters know which side they're on for the most part, and that colors everything else. And that's fairly unique. But I wouldn't say that we have particularly extreme issue positions compared to compared to history. There's still a lot of people in the middle on most policy issues. So in that respect, I wouldn't say that, you know, we're all extremists now. It's just that it's quite easy to figure out which side you're on in American politics right now, and people tend to pick a side.
And Matt, before I let you go, tell us a little bit more about the Institute for Public Policy and Social Research that you lead. People familiar with the show hear you occasionally with Dr. Ballard and Arnold Weinfeld and some others discussing issues, but tell us about IPSR.
So Institute for Public Policy and Social Research is both a research institute where we try to bring faculty together to address problems that are affecting the state or public policy issues generally. And it's kind of an outreach vehicle from the university to the state. We're only 3 miles away, but it often seems like there's a bigger divide between academia and what's going on at the state. And we're really bridging that gap. We hold 20 to 30 events a year at the Capitol where we're training legislative staff, we're training interns, where you see the legislators after they're elected for their orientation. We do forums on policy issues. So we're really trying to bring together academic expertise with kind of real on-the-ground political knowledge to try to improve the state's policies.
And ippsr.msu.edu is the place to learn more about Matt's Institute for Public Policy and Social Research. And Matt is out with his latest book, which he's been telling us about, Red State Blues. Best wishes with it, Matt, and thanks for joining me on MSU Today.
Thank you so much.